Fifth one, fullness of Gentiles to provoke Israel to jealousy. The fullness, that is our role. That is our responsibility. Just want to take the last Sunday to talk about that in a very practical way. No, this is not about, you know, embracing Jewish culture or not. You love it, go ahead. You like Jewish songs, sing. But provoking Israel to jealousy is not about embracing the culture. Provoking Israel to jealousy is when Israel look at the Gentile church, they are reminded, isn't this what we used to have? That is our inheritance. That is what Moses talked about, isn't it? That's our God. How come it's with the Gentile? We also want to have that. That's what provoking Israel to jealousy is all about. That's what it is about. So we need to understand that. No, not this, no. I have spoken to some Jewish believers. They say, I know they understand our zeal and passion. They say, a lot of what we are doing right now is a turn off. It does not help. It does not. Okay. Do you know there's a proper way of converting to a Jew? There is. You can. There is a proper biblical way. Okay, again, I'm going to tell you this so that the idea is not for you to convert. No. So some of these Messianic Jewish people, they tell me, right, do a proper job. For guys, please go in circumcised. Yeah. Never mind. Okay. Now, Yeah. Then you have to cut off all your roots. Remember the phrase from, what's the book? Ruth. Your people shall be my people. Your God shall be my God. There's a proper way. Do a proper job. Do 6:30, no? Yeah, then, yeah. So if my name is Yo Kei Chong, then I have to change to Jacob, Paul, Benjamin. Not even Benjamin, Benjamin. Because Jewish word J is pronounced as a Y. So it's not even Jacob, it's Jacob. Jacob, Netanyahu, Benjamin. Yeah, to cut off all my roots. I'm no longer Chinese. I'm Jewish. You can. Because it's a call. So do a proper job. Okay, yeah. No. Please, I go to speak. The teaching here is not teaching us to convert to Jewish. I'm just telling us that you can do it, but it has to be biblical. Okay, so whoever will buy, don't call me a cow. Okay. Okay, fifth one. Fullness of Gentile to provoke Israel to jealousy. That's Romans 11, verse 11 to 25. Okay, there are four things about the fullness of Gentiles. Romans 11, verse 11 and verse 25. Go and read on your own. I have no time to run through it. There are four aspects of the fullness of Gentiles. Okay, four aspects. Again, I say the fullness, when the Bible talks about Romans 11, talk about salvation coming to the Gentile, it's more than just individual Gentile being saved. It's about God now use the Gentile church as a vehicle to bring the gospel to all nations. So that's what it means, okay? So four things about fullness of Gentile. The first one is full number of Gentile believer will be saved. No one knows it. It's a preordained number. Okay, that's the first one. Full number of Gentile believer being saved. Second, we will move into the fullness of God's power. Okay, that's what Joel 2, verse 28 to 32 talks about. You know, if you read Joel 2, why God pour out His Spirit? For us to show off, prophecy increase, signs and wonder. It's the last part, verse 32. Then, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Joel 2 is primarily written to who? Jewish. They see Gentile church begin to move in signs and wonder, call down fire from heaven, multiplication of food. They say, isn't this what Moses did? Who is this God who is so familiar? Then we provoke them to jealousy. You know what we tell them? This is your God. We are only being grafted in. Come back. Come back. We have a mandate we have to give back to you. Your call. That's what it is about. So you understand this? Yeah. So this, no, of course, is also about world salvation. But one of the primary reason for outpouring Holy Spirit is to provoke Israel to jealousy. They saw, wow, maybe more than manna and quail. Now got chicken wing. Just don't pork chop candy. Then there's a turn off. You know, yeah. No, that's going to happen again because you know why? We are going to call them in, just like World War II. People like Corinne Ten Boom. God is going to raise up many Corinne Ten Boom. Because we're going to take them in, they'll be persecuted. Meanwhile, no food. Then what do we do? Say, we pray. Say, what's the menu today? I say, I don't know. I pray. God, please, your beloved is here. I have no food to serve them. Send food. Then the crew come. No, I tell God, God, end time, can we have more than roti prata? Manna is something like that. Yeah. I'm not telling you fairy tale story. It's going to happen again. That's in the end time prophecy. That's how people say, oh, end time is going to be tough. It's tough and it's exciting too. I want to wait for it to happen, pray. I just tell God, no lah, no krill. They say eat one krill egg is equivalent to eat egg. Oh, so potent. So not, God, you know about healthy, so you're not going to send krill egg. No, never mind, let's not get there. Okay, fullness of, no, they say, why are you talking about? I'm talking about all these things because I believe it could happen in our lifetime. Many of us in this room will experience some of the things that we are talking about right now, especially the young people. Some of us in this room will experience the greatest outpouring of the Holy Spirit that the Bible prophesies about. That's how I always tell people, we are not just praying for a revival, we are praying for the revival. It could happen within our lifetime. Wow. That's how we do children equipping. You know what we are equipping them? We are equipping them by end time. We teach them how to pray. We tell them this is going to be normal in your life. And that this man come. Don't like him in the Facebook. His name is Antichrist. They need to know because it will all happen. If it's not my lifetime, it could be my children's lifetime. They better be prepared. Because you know why? One of the signposts of Jesus coming back is what? The return of Israel to the land. Israel is back. That's a major signpost. Not the only, but major. So we better prepare ourselves. It's going to be exciting time. Okay, let's get back to this fullness. Fullness of the Gentile. Full number being saved. Fullness of God's power. Fullness of maturity. That's how we're going to provoke them. So when we open up the Old Testament, say, you know the Torah more than us. And they get jealous. Do you know that the Jewish people know the scripture? Of course, unfortunately, the Old Testament. How do you provoke them to jealousy? You know the scripture more than them. No, my wife was attending a teaching when we were in US by this Messianic Jew. I tell you, he know the Bible more than us. You know why? The whole Jewish culture tells the Bible story. So when he say all this, then at the end, everybody sit there stunned, astounded. Then he say, so now, let me ask you, my Gentile friends, you provoking me or I provoking you? We are like, yeah, that's true. How do you provoke that? You better know the Bible. The Bible say what? Jews demand a miracle. We need to know the word. Jesus has to be alive in our life. They are not interested in you telling. Let me tell you 1 minute testimony. Show me that God is real. Do you know the scripture? Not just quote, no, yeah, John 3:16. But it's alive. So we provoke them. So we fullness of the maturity of the bride. Fourth one, fulfilling the fullness of God's purpose. That means world evangelization. Fulfilling the fullness of God. So that's the five mystery of Israel. Okay, I give you an overall summary. Then I'm going to give you three litmus tests. Then I run to Romans 9. Can you still handle? Do you need a break? Okay, good. Okay, give you an overall summary of what this mystery of God is all about. No, this is vital. This is where we begin. You got to get this right. If we anchor everything in Romans 9, 10, 11, when you read through the entire Bible, you begin to understand what this Israel is all about. It's not suddenly God just have this good idea. No, yeah, I better look for a nation now. My son is about to come back. Better find one. He's always have decided. Okay? Write this now. Okay, I put it together. Basically, it's a general statement. You know, yeah. Mystery of God concerning Israel. The temporal blindness of Israel has caused the gospel to come to the Gentiles. Okay? Got it? The temporal, okay, if my grammar is wrong, please forgive me. Okay, just go and get it right. Okay, yeah. The temporal blindness of Israel has, no, it's all, I put it, basically put all five essential parts into a statement. the temporal blindness of Israel has caused the gospel to come to the Gentile, which result in the eventual fullness of Gentile that will lead to the salvation of Israel. Got it? Okay. Which will result in the fullness of Israel and therefore ushering the second coming of Jesus, resulting in God's glory filling the millennial earth and the establishment of the kingdom of God on earth. Got it? Okay, let me just do it one more time. Okay. Okay, why don't I type it down, give you next week? Okay, yeah. Yeah, so, type it down, give you next week. Okay, now I give you three litmus tests. Now I'm going to run through briefly Romans 9, because to me, this is important. There's three litmus tests of understanding this mystery of Israel. These are the three tests that you really understand. No, unfortunately, a lot of time we caught up with this sentiment, this romanticizing. Everything about Israel is right. Oh, must have Jewish name, wear Jewish clothes, eat Jewish food. No, these are good. No, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to make fun, okay? But that these are not the true tests of you understand about Israel. There are three tests, okay? Three tests. First one, if you understand Israel, you will love her. No, I say love, okay? I didn't say light. You will love her and you will pray for her. You will love her and you will pray for her. Okay, Romans 9, verse 2 to 3. Romans chapter 9, verse 2 to 3. Romans 10, verse 1. Romans 10, verse 1. Psalms 122, verse 6. I'm going to take a session to talk about Psalms 102, verse 6. Psalms 102, verse 6. Got it? You need to run, through one more time? Okay, donate. Okay, that's the first test. Second test of we truly understand the mystery of Israel is this. It must produce awestruck. I don't even know whether there's this word, but I'm going to use it. It must produce awestruckness towards God. You know, we are awestruck. At the end, remember I said this? The issue or the mystery of Israel is about Israel, but it's not about Israel. It's about God. If at the end of the day, you understand the mystery of Israel, you're not excited about God, my word to you is that you didn't get it. It's always about God. No, that does not mean that we don't care about the people group. We love them, we stay with them, but at the end of the day, it's about God. Let's go to Romans 11, verse 33. That's why when you read, sometimes when you read the scripture, you need to feel the emotion of the author. Paul is not just suddenly, you know, just happy, I feel like worshipping. Somebody say, yeah, Paul, how come suddenly now Paul talk about worship? You know why he worship? Because after God granted him the revelation of the mystery of Israel, chapter 9, chapter 10, chapter 11, he said, wow, God, you are brilliant. I got to worship you. How can I not worship you? That's why he wrote a song. Not because, you know, sometimes if you don't understand, say, how come suddenly in the middle of it, Paul just going worship? No, you need to put yourself in his position and realize that it's like he's kind of like a bit upset, you know, writing to Romans. So, certainly not. Then at the end, wow, God, I didn't even realize the mystery. And I said, oh, the depth of your riches, your knowledge. And so, no one know. Brilliant, God. You are brilliant. I just got to worship you. That's Romans 11, verse 33. Okay. That's why Paul said this. No, he didn't just somehow. Paul is like, oh, I still got three more verses or four, so I got to write something. No. I always tell people, everything in the scripture is important. God didn't say, oh, I have so many pages, so meanwhile, write a few things. You know, like people say, why, God, you list now the book of Numbers, all about numbers. You know? You have nothing to say. They just figure out all the numbers. No, there is a reason. Here is because Paul was so awestruck. If you see and understand the mystery of Israel, you're not excited about God. You didn't get it. You didn't get it. No, that's why people say, go to Israel, must bring back some soil. Please don't worship the soil. Worship God. You know, yeah, there's some people that, yeah, please bring back some air. Yeah, Singapore got haze, but no. It's got nothing to do with the air or the soil or whatever. Israel is special because God chose her. No, you want, please bring lah. I mean, I don't care. You want to sell, also can. No, some people sell. But yeah, I will bring back the Dead Sea, all the mud. No, because everybody want to put on their face. No. That one I bring back. Because they want to make money. Yeah. No, just joking. Okay, let's go verse 23. Let's not go too far. Verse 23. That's why Paul said it. That's why the second litmus test is what? You'll be awestruck with God. If you are not excited by God, you miss it. Because the whole mystery realizes, wow, God, you are brilliant. You are brilliant. You give the gospel to Jews. Jew lost it, came to the Gentile. Gentile eventually all get saved. Then after that, you go back to the Jews. Then the Jews get saved, call upon Jesus. Jesus will come back. The millennium kingdom come. Wow, only you can work out this plan. Unbelievable. And you only have one plan. God, you know, any management will tell you must have contingency plan, isn't it? God said, no, I only one plan. That's it. You will worship. That's why Paul said this, verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgment and his way past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has become his counselor? Who has first given to him? It shall be repaid to him. 36. For of him, through him, to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. He was worshiping. He suddenly realized, wow, God, brilliant. Brilliant. Okay, I can't find a better word. So I use the word with brilliant. So it's there's a third test, litmus test. Third one. It should produce reckless abandonment in living for God. It should produce reckless abandonment in living for God. Do you know in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2? It's not. Paul kind of moved to another issue is connected. You know, somehow, that's why I sometimes wonder, you know, people kind of like divide Bible into chapter. A lot of times they cut at the wrong place. Yeah, no, I'm not saying I'm a smarter. No, there must be some reasons. But no, it's connected because you're talking about mercy. You know why it's connected? It's as a result. Paul said, oh, if God is so brilliant, he's so good, he has a plan. Oh, just throw everything. Live for him in reckless abandonment because the issue is about mercy, isn't it? Let's go to Romans 12, verse 1. That's the third test. If you really understand, people ask me, so how much do you know, Kei Chong? Scale 1 to 10. Let me tell you my honest response. Maybe 1 or 2. Not even half. That's why I'm praying for understanding. Okay. Romans 12 verse 1 said this. I beseech you, therefore I know. Theologically, a lot of people say Romans 12 is because of, Paul is writing this verse is because after he talked about salvation by faith, Romans 3 to Romans 8. Cannot be, because it's like, it's not that Paul writes something, suddenly, hey, let me just pause. Let me talk about some other issue. I come and tell you this thing again. That's not how it works. Paul is, after he realized that, he said, guys, do you realize that he is such a great God? What's there to lose? Give yourself fully to him in reckless abandonment. He said this, I beseech you therefore, brethren, I'm going to dwell on this word mercy, by the mercies of God. What is the context of mercy? Go back to verse 11. Go back to chapter 11. I'll go back and run through for you. But I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, which is your reasonable act of worship. Let's go back to verse 30. Verse 30. Paul was talking about the mercy of God. He said this. This is a little bit confusing, but actually it's not that confusing. Okay, verse 30. For as you were once disobedient to God, yet have now obtained mercy through their disobedience. You know what Paul is saying? You used to do not know the Lord. Now you obtain mercy because Israel was blinded. Okay, now he goes to the next one, verse 31. Even so, this also have now been disobedient through the mercy that shown you, they also obtain mercy. It's like, well, you used to disobey God. Because right now, they disobey God. Because of that, the gospel come, you receive mercy. And now because you receive mercy, and because of your mercy, you receive mercy, you provoke Israel to jealousy, Israel also eventually will receive mercy. Wow. Okay, verse 32. For God has committed them all to disobedience, that he might have mercy on all. Eventually, nations all will turn to the Lord. when Paul wrote Romans 12, verse 1, it's in the context of this mercy. Go and search it carefully. So these are three litmus tests. Okay, no, this is not to put you down. Okay, this is a real test. I use it to measure myself. Do I love Israel more? Do I pray for Israel more? Do I get more excited about God or I get excited about the Jew? And my wife is not even Jewish, so don't worry. Yeah, yeah. Or three, love or pray for Israel. Do you become more excited about God, awestruck by God? And the last one, does it cause you to live in reckless abandonment for God? That's a three litmus test. Okay, can you give me another 10 minutes? Then I'm going to take a break. Turn me to Romans 9. You know, yeah, I'm going to be quick. Should I do it today? Should I not do it today? If I do it today, then it's really injustice. Okay, never mind. If I no time, then we may not bring into a small group. Okay, tell me the Romans 9. Because you must know Romans 9. No, I know everybody say, Kichong, you always say, you must know Romans 9, Romans 10, Romans 11. You must know Zechariah 12, 13, 14. You must know Joel. So just say, know everything. Yeah, precisely. Yeah. Okay, tell me the Romans 9. Romans 9. Because it's important for you to understand Romans 9. Okay. Important for you to understand Romans 9. Because Romans 9 deal with a few issues. The issue of Israel's rejection, the issue of Israel's election, issue concerning God's sovereign and righteous dealing with Israel, because it ties everything together, okay? Romans 10 actually is quite straightforward. Romans 9 is a little bit tricky, but it can be understood, okay? Again, please understand this. When you read Romans 9, this will help you to understand what this chapter is about. This chapter Paul is not talking about individual salvation. No, he's talking about national election. Okay, but many questions pops out as a result of so-called Israel being rejected by God. That's why this whole Romans chapter 9 centers around four questions. Paul is trying to address four questions as a result of so-called Israel's rejection by God temporarily. Got it? I'm going to run through verse by verse so that you understand, because it's an amazing one chapter. Okay, probably one of the slightly more difficult to understand chapter. Okay, there are four questions arises as a result of Israel being rejected temporarily. Okay, write this down. I don't know whether it's in the notes. The first one is this. As a result of Israel being rejected, inverted comma, when I use the word rejected, it means partially and temporarily, okay, because I hope I don't have to keep emphasizing this. Yeah, that's kind of mouthful to mention. Yeah, the first question is, because of partial rejection or temporal rejection, there is this question of the validity and the trustworthiness of God's promise and His word. Okay, that's Romans 9, verse 6. Because remember, in Romans 8, Paul said this: nothing will separate us from the love of God. No angel, no demon, and so on. So now they begin to question, Paul, you say nothing could separate the love of God, but Israel is being rejected. What is happening? Does that mean that the word of God is not trustworthy? It's vital. Because that means we are carrying God. God, your word cannot be trusted. That means the scripture cannot be trusted. They are questioning that. So Paul is trying to explain. See, the issue. What is actually the issue? So that's the first question. Romans 9, verse 6. Second question is, because of that, there's an accusation against God concerning His unrighteous dealing towards Israel. God, you are the one who rejected Israel. You're not righteous. You call Him, then you rejected Him. That's verse 14. Okay. The third one. Questions over God's justice. You choose Israel, then you choose Pharaoh. A bit unfair, right? You harden Pharaoh's heart. So now you judge him. Have you? No? Why blame us? Okay, there's a reason why Pharaoh's heart was hardened. I'll explain to you. Okay, that's verse 19 and verse 20. No, Paul wrote chapter 9 primarily to answer these four questions. The last one, why does God reject Israel? Why does God reject Israel? That's Romans 9, verse 21 to 23. Romans 9, verse 21 to 23. Okay, let's go to verse 1. The powerful three verse. Romans 9, verse 1 to 3. Which talk about Paul's zeal and burden for Israel. That's where we understand that God is going to put this on the Gentile church in the last day. I call it the apostolic burden. Verse 1 says this. Okay, verse 1. This is powerful. I tell you the truth. I am not lying. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit. You know what Paul is saying? Your understanding and your doctrine of Israel has to base on the written word of God. And by the revelation of the Holy Spirit, through the written word of God. That's why I say, I am telling the truth in Christ. This is not what I think, what I feel. It's the truth in Christ, bearing me witness through the revelation of the Holy Spirit. It has to base on the word of God. Not romanticizing, not sentimentalism. No, it's good to have sentiment, but you cannot determine a doctrine or a theory based on this. Paul said, I tell you the truth. It has to base on the truth. So it's the same. Everything, search the scripture. The scripture. But of course, it has to be like by the revelation of the Holy Spirit. Now, I always make this statement. As you study any issue that is in the heart of God, even about issue of Israel, whether it's Romans 9, 10, 11, always remember this. Bathe your study through prayers. Birth your understanding through prayers. Bathe your study through prayer. No, there's a place to study by commentary and so on, but pray over it. Birth your understanding through prayer, because scripture has to be revealed. If by being smart, you can understand the scripture, many will be saved. It has to be through the revelation of God. Okay? I know that because I grew up in a mission school. That means Christian school. I hated God. They call me Saul of that school. You know, Saul of Tarsus. I studied Gospel of Mark for PS. No, not PSLG. What I'm talking about. No. Oh, yeah. Then I'm very smart, man. I studied Gospel of Mark. I take exams for O-level and then A-level. I hated God. They call me Saul of ACS. Oh, that's a school, acronym of a school. Guess what I get for my Gospel of Mark? A. A. Okay. Knowing the Bible here does not mean anything. Okay, so I come from, thank God, now I'm no longer Saul. Okay. Yeah, that's why I always joke, God, that's why you make me a preacher, isn't it? Have to embarrass me now, right? Okay, no, I'm just joking. Okay, so bathe your study with prayer. Birth your understanding through prayer. Got it? That's what Paul is saying. It has to be based on the scripture. I'm going to skip verse 2 and 3 because I talk about verse 2 and 3. Let's go to verse 4 and 5. You must know verse 4 and 5. Verse 4 and 5 talk about the 8 divine entrustment that God given to Israel. 8 divine entrustment. Verse 4 and 5. Let me read through it and I briefly define all 8. Okay. It's the call of God for Israel. Don't fight over it. 8 divine entrustment. Verse 4 says this. Who are Israelite, to whom pertain the adoption. The first one, adoption. You know what's adoption? Sonship. It's through Israel. We are called the children of God. Okay, I have no time to give you the scripture. Maybe I'll put it down next week. I think it's in your notes. Okay. 8 divine entrustment. Adoption. First one is adoption. Second, the glory. That means through Mount Sinai, Moses, we can encounter and receive the very glory of God. The third one, covenants. Covenant. It's through Israel that God make the covenant. First one is Abrahamic covenant. Second is through Moses. Third one is the Davidic covenant. You know that the new covenant is combination of all three? Yeah, no time to explain. But I say earlier, who did God make covenant with for the new covenant? Israel. Jeremiah 31, go and read. Jeremiah 31, verse 31 to 34. It's not through the Gentile church. That's why I know there are some circle of churches who teach us that. No, the church, Gentile church has not even existed yet. The first Gentile got saved was Cornelius. No, it's true. Jeremiah 31, verse 31 to 34. Go and read it because it was very clear. God make the covenant with the new covenant with the house of David. Unless it belongs to the house of David. It's through the house of David. Okay, so that's the third one, covenant. Fourth one is the law. The law. The fourth one is the law. That's where the Ten Commandments came. Then through the Ten Commandments, the Torah. Then through the Torah, do you know what's the Sermon on the Mount? Do you know what's the Sermon on the Mount? Sermon on the Mount is basically Jesus teaching, or inverted comma, redefining Torah in the New Testament context, in the spirit of New Testament. So people say, oh yeah, it's exempted Torah. If you exempted Torah, that means don't read the New Testament. Do you know that the epistles is built from Sermon on the Mount? Everything that Paul wrote, Peter wrote, John wrote, Titus, and what's the guy's name? Philemon. The epistles is all built from Sermon on the Mount. Where do you think Sermon on the Mount is built from? Where? Torah. Where do you think Torah comes from? Ten Commandments. You know, I heard this teaching. Oh, Ten Commandments is obsoleted.